Yeah, my mom got it for me. My mom got it for me back in for my birthday.
You only got 1 year to wear it, I guess.
Oh, that's it. That's it.
So, I guess 40 plus.
Yeah, right.
Because like, you're like, took me 40 years, and now I'm here. So now I'm forever, looking this good.
That's it.
I thought you had a Georgia hat on.
No, it's Oakley.
That's a Cali brand.
I think my sister, she was thinking of the shirt, and she knows I'm very vain. and so I like to match. And so this came for Christmas as well. So,
ooh, cool.
Yeah.
What's up, everyone? This is Bella Mars, and we're back with another episode of Big Time Fresh, and it's the new year. So happy new year. My co-host, I would just say you're a co-host now. What's up, man?
I appreciate that. Yeah, this is JP. Hello, you wonderful people. And absolutely. Happy new year.
So it's going to be good. We got a lot to talk about. We try to make it. This one's going to be a more upbeat one than the last couple ones. So I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm stoked as well.
And we're also going to be buzzing, like, because JP said it last time. It's not my idea. He said to buzz him on whenever time or anytime he says what have you. So,
haven't said it yet. You know,
correct. I'm gonna. I almost said you know. All right. So
I'm gonna do my best.
So the topic of the theme of the day, I'd say, is, or the theme of the episode is New Year's.
Yeah.
Everything. Recap/New Year's.
You got any embarrassing resolutions that you're potentially gonna work on or you've already given up on? I mean, it is the 8th, right? So, you know, it is possible that they've gone by now.
Embarrassing. Probably, like, I like putting those outfits on that end up getting a lot of likes for Instagram, but I'm going to lead with my writing abilities this year. So maybe that's not embarrassing, but maybe the embarrassing part is the fact that I knew what I was doing to get those likes and to get followers.
Yeah.
But so a lot less of that and way more content and consistency.
Hey, it sells. We know it.
It
so
does. I mean,
it sells. So. Yeah, I think that's fair. And well, now you got some. You've also created a foundation, and you know, your writing will take it even further. So that's great.
Yeah. Now, awesome. Now I can be seen as, oh, that's the writer journalist girl. Not, oh, she's got nice tees. So
yeah, well, so if you're working on double triple threat, see, that's how it
hey,
goes.
There
so,
we
right
go. I that's like out. It
yep
okay,
hey, Justin Timberlake did not get picked up because of his acting ability. All right, that came later. So
true.
Embarrassing for sure, because I have the cliche quintessential, I'm going to exercise better. I think I live relatively healthy, but I have a Peloton that is it's a really good place to hang my dress shirts on. It's dope.
Have you found any of the sorry to interrupt.
Yeah.
Do you do the live ones with the instructor?
Oh, are you kidding me? Gosh, no, I don't have the courage to do that yet. Like, I'll do the recorded ones and see how I'll stack up to those leaderboards, you know? So, no, because I'm not at my happy weight yet. And once I get to that point and I feel stronger, then I will eventually. Yeah, there you go. There's a resolution. I'm going to be on a live race on the Peloton this year. We'll see. Just one. We'll see what happens.
Let's go. Let's do
it. So, but that's my embarrassing one. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, I mean, weight loss is always on mine. I fluctuate pretty much up and down all year, and I always end the year. It's Halloween. Halloween messes me up, man, because Halloween is candy time, and then it goes into Thanksgiving, and then it goes into Christmas. I'm like, oh, there's all the work that I did for the first, to get into summer mode, and then fall, it's like free for all, whatever I want to eat, because chocolate and candy, and I don't mean to, and I keep seeing myself like, okay, well, last time, let you know, we have coming up Thanksgiving, so everybody calm down, no more chocolate, whatever. This year I was like, it is what it is, let's just pile on another, you know, let me get all the negative stuff out of my life, so I'm gonna eat all the candy I want. I'll start a new year. No, I started my job on January 3rd, which is going to be great for taxes. So I don't have to like do taxes last year versus this year. So that's what I'm going to put on my list this year and try to make it permanent.
There you go. You can do it. I found this really cool winter weight loss program. Here in Phoenix. Yeah, yeah, it was great. I got this thing called influenza, and I dropped 10 pounds. I got the flu and it kicked my butt so bad, I was like kind of thankful to get the flu, like, I gotta keep it off.
What was it? Oh, it was in I think it was in Devil Wears Prada. She's like, I'm one stomach flu away from my goal weight or something like
that. Yeah, absolutely. That's it. So
yeah, it's, I know. Well, that's good. Sounds like flu's pretty bad right now, or this year, especially.
Yeah, everybody's calling it the crud. And, you know, and it's funny, I'm the only one who got it in my house. And so, you know, who knows? But yeah, I mean, now I'm going to, like I said, jump back on that bike, and because I need to do that. And, you know, still living healthy, so good fun job. Stuff. Just watch out for that chocolate, and I'll try and climb on that bike.
There you go. So you have the list up.
I do. Yeah, yeah. You know, one of the things that that happened recently was, we had our podcast regarding mental health and diving into, you know, having conversations, and you know, reaching out to professionals and taking their help. Yeah, I caught it. I caught it. What's up? I caught it. So, you know, a week ago, there was a football game between Buffalo Bills, Cincinnati Bengals. In the first quarter, there was an average hit, and it put down a gentleman by the name of DeMar Hamlin. He took a shot to the chest, which ultimately caused him to have cardiac arrest. And he was out on the field for 9 minutes. I've never seen this in football. I'm a big football fan. And it was terrifying. And they stopped the game. The game did not commence. It's not going to be replayed ultimately. And so how that, where my immediate thought was, you know, there was no question of forcing these players to go back out onto the field.
Yeah.
Like there was, you know, because, you know, we think about their, you know, physical attributes and abilities. These are modern day gladiators. They're warriors. Well, there is a mental aspect to it that I think some people, maybe, even the casual fan will forget.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
Oh, you know, from my perspective, well, let's continue with you. How did it make you feel did you see it live?
I saw it live.
Oh my gosh.
I saw it live. I'm a well-known Raider fan, but I also have a love of the game. What these people put their bodies, their families, their minds, their lives through. And how I felt was, I was terrified. I was devastated. Because as much as we enjoy the, I guess the intensity of this sport, it is not, you don't want it to happen at the expense of somebody's life, which is what we were talking about. People can have an injury, leave the field, the game will commence. But never had we seen an instance where they thought he was dead. I mean, you know, we're doing CPR on the football field. They thought he was dead. I went through an array of emotions, you know, even a sliver of guilt because you enjoy this thing that, you know, could have potentially caused death. It was, yeah, it was kind of scary.
It was definitely, I would say I'm not the furthest from a sports fan. I definitely know how football is. I know the different plays. I know the positions because I played fan. I was in some fantasy football leagues for like 5 years and then I kind of dropped off. So for me, what was most terrifying is how the players were reacting in real time. And like, you know, and it wasn't just one or two or three. It was like, I don't know, dozens of grown men crying and like really, you could tell how much it bothered. They were affected by it. And so, you know, that's when, and the coach was everything, everybody. And so for me, I'm all I know usually about football is like, oh, so and so got a hit, he's got a neck injury, so and so got a concussion, he's out this week. So even concussions are, for the longest time up until this past game, I was like, oh, concussions are, and paralysis are the effects that wouldn't happen right away necessarily, but could
Yeah.
happen, you know, be more, have more of a serious effect later on in life. But the fact that he was 24, I think after I saw it happen, all I could do was like watch as many clips as I could to like see if he's okay and to see what other sports announcers and sports commentators on all of the ESPNs and all the networks. They all got choked up, even if they weren't, you know, didn't have that strong football background, even though most of
Yeah.
them would anyway. They all got really choked up when it was happening and they were talking about it. And then when he came out of it, they got choked up and were crying again. And like that made me think this is not, and this is gonna be like hopefully like a once in a lifetime wake up call. That I think the sports world kind of needed, that never had, that we never knew need that they needed.
Yeah, with the repercussions of CTE that can come with later in life, which is a condition, due to concussions and impact damage. There's a player right now, a quarterback for the Miami Dolphins, Tua Tagovailoa, who's had two concussions this
Right.
year. And frankly, if I were his family, like, you shouldn't play anymore. J.J. Watt plays for the Arizona Cardinals, defensive back. He had a heart, like, kind of, he had his heart shocked, like shocked back into rhythm. And this guy's a top-tier player. He just had his first baby. And whatever, he's stopping playing. Today's his last
I
game.
didn't realize that.
Today's his last game. And that's the smart call. That's the reason that Andrew Luck was his quarterback who was seeing the way his body was getting taken down and he stopped. And the peculiar thing, the thing about the play that we saw, it was they have put in protocols now for defenseless receivers. It's not as aggressive as it once was. This was so, it looked so simple. It's
Yeah.
actually more of a common problem in sports like baseball or soccer, where somebody gets hit in the chest, and basically it's like defibbing their heart in the other direction.
Yeah.
So they are always on the way to keep it safe, but this particular play, I don't know. I don't know what you could do to the game to stop it. And I didn't get choked up during the play. I was very happy to hear that he woke up. He was able to write. He asked if he said who won. They told
Yeah.
him that he won. You can't see it, but the strong person deal where you put your arms up and you flex, right? So when he FaceTimed his team, that was the first thing that he did was like, I'm,
Oh,
showing I'm
yeah.
strong. He's watching the game today. As it pertains to our previous episode, Aaron Rodgers had gone on a program and he ultimately talked about how mental health is so important in our culture. There's a lot better language around it. A lot of stigmas have been erased, myths have been debunked. It's important for, you know, it's an important part of your overall health. And in a situation like this, there needs to be a conversation around it. And he said that they were very fortunate that their people were coming to them, having an open forum and a conversation. And then today, the game between the Bills and the Patriots starts off. And, you know, I'm patriotic. So I put on Red Zone. National anthem starts. I'm standing up in my living room and I'm watching all these players and people and coaches, and you know, they're playing for something a little bit more. Because the entire NFL community and media and fans, everybody came together. And then, you know, kickoff commences and the Bills run it all away for a touchdown.
It was
wild. And at that moment, and then Damar Hamlin, on social media, puts a tweet up of, OMFG, you know, cause it's huge. And at that moment it hit me pretty good that because he's okay.
It's like the world, it was like a shock to the world to realize, like, hey, everything's okay. Everything's, you know, life happens. Let's get back on it. It's not a poor me situation. Like, the world came together. You know, everything terrible happened. We all came together. And, like, sucks for the... Tampa. Sucks for Tampa, but at the same time, like, it seems like...
Oh, Cincinnati?
All the play... No, for this game that they had
England.
New England.
It doesn't. We don't like the Patriots. Sorry, Patriots fans. You know what? That was a fumble all those years ago. No, it's okay. That's why I'm here. But you know, and it's something to think about that... Hey, in times of distress, everybody, you know, puts their differences aside and come together. And that is a wonderful thing. I think it's also important that when things are good, that's also a time to put your differences aside and, you know, come together. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see.
Perhaps I'm a little... optimistic or whatever, but I think I would love this to be the shock that everyone needed in general discourse in how we live our lives now in America. Just like, you know, you might not like these people, but at the same time, like, you gotta respect them as a human, you know, and that's a human life. And and it kind of puts the whole sports thing in perspective too. It's like, I guess it is they're entertainers, because they kept calling them entertainers.
They're entertainers.
And I was like, man, that was a perspective that it's totally true, but I just never saw it that way. And then it's, you know, like actresses when their shelf life is like until they're like 30, and then they start getting mom roles. But yeah, yep. So that's, they're entertainers. And they work their whole life for it. It's crazy.
I think that the optimism is a good thing. I think also that we live in the best possible time. And by the way that information travels, you can, you know, there was a time when we didn't have the way that information travels now. And sometimes people could feel very alienated, alone, but there is, you know, unity. And you can see it. And you know what Bruce Lee said, you know, hey, under the sky, under the heavens, we're all the same. It just so happens some of us are different. So, you know, different team, you know, different, you know, political view, doesn't matter.
It shows that it's possible. I think that's
it
why
is
I'm
possible.
Optimistic. Yeah.
And I think that's a great outlook.
Because you take all of the people that cared so much about this, and it's probably every type of person in America, you know. So
yep, it's great. I think that they're still going to make strides in all of sports to continue to keep things safe, because you know, we want more people like whether you like them or not, we want more people like Tom Brady that can play this game into their 40s. We shall see what happens.
It's gonna be interesting. Yeah.
So, you know, as we're moving into 2023, you know, looking back on 2022, you got any like favorite moments that stand out?
Favorite moments.
It's tough when you're on the spot.
I know, right? The first thing I thought of, that's not a favorite moment, but that was a big moment that changed. I don't want to say changed my life, but really kind of freaked me out. Was Will's the slap on the Academy Awards way last year when Will Smith got up there. And, you know, he walked up on stage. It was an Oscar. So he was nominated for an Oscar. I don't know if it's first time. Anyway, he was nominated for Best Actor. And Chris Rock, who is legendary, been doing stand-up comedy forever, probably the biggest known comedian in the game, went on stage. Nothing was unusual about this at all. Like, everything was fine. And then Chris Rock says something about G.I. Jane, you know, hey, good luck on G.I. Jane or whatever, something to Jada Smith.
Who has alopecia? Alopecia, thank you.
Yes.
Thank you, appreciate that.
And then Will Smith walks up on stage live, smacks the F out of him.
Yeah, full tilt.
Full tilt. And Chris Rock leaned into it because who would come on stage, especially Will Smith, last person on earth anybody would ever think would have done something like that.
He looked like he was leaning in as if you would with a friend where they're going to say something close to your ear, right? Like something private. Yeah. Yeah. And he got thwacked, man.
I every single movie that I ever watched with him got ruined for a couple months. That was a mental health thing too. It's not all mental health, but I think it was seated in a mental health thing that he hasn't dealt with yet.
No, I would agree. I heard Michael J. White talk about that, about like, hey, when you come into a powerful position, you need to have that stuff worked out.
Yeah.
It was also made comment like, if that was Dwayne Johnson who was up there making that joke, would Will Smith have gone up there and done the same thing? I don't know.
Will Ferrell, even, you know?
Yeah. So,
it's
crazy. You know, that was a crazy moment. Dang.
As for life, I don't know. Probably in a job search mode for the first time, being unemployed for the first time, kind of in a, well, I guess ever, to the point where I'm like, I need to have a job to, you know, have the means to raise a child. And I was unemployed for so long because COVID was it was over, but it was still having the ripple effects. And so that for me put my life in perspective as well. It's like, okay, so A, I always need to be saving more money. B, a job is a job is a job. Like, there's no, I went into it thinking, hey, you're loyal to a company, they'll be there with you forever. Then I ignored every single person that ever said that to me. I said, no, you're wrong. And then I learned I'm just a number. So that was a big one too, because that kind of shifted my perspective on, okay, first of all, it's definitely true that you need to do something with your life that you love. And two, nothing is certain in life. And so make the most of every time you have with the people that you love. And sometimes it's good, my daughter too, to remind me of, you know, she'll ask to go play or something. And a lot of times I'm just like, no, no. And it would be because I'm watching a show or something stupid. Mm-hmm. But now it's like, you're right. So like, we took all the cardboard boxes from all the Amazon packages from Christmas And we like built a cat house that has like a roof and all this kind of stuff. Yeah. And now we're painting it. So, you know, fun things like that. So, I mean, that was a big life lesson.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, for those listening, you know, we can give you Bella's contact info when you want to be a sponsor, and then, you know, this could just be a regular thing. And then, you know, we can plug your product. I mean, of course we're going to have to vet the product first, but you know, you know, it's something that can be considered.
We take sports, we take any kind of sponsorship. So send it over. How about
I'm not going to be, all right. So, you know, favorite moments and lessons learned in 2022, not to bring it down, but because this is a part of life, my father-in-law who lived with us passed away in January. So that's how we started out our year, and it was heavy. You know, my wife is a pretty strong person. And you know, all of my real favorite moments in 2022, it's something surrounding my family. My wife and I turned 40. We went to a football game in Vegas that where it was just the two of us. We had an incredible time. I mean, that was in November. And so, but a lot of the stuff that I had this year surrounds my son. Like he, you know, he's an incredible swimmer. We've got a pool. He's like diving down to the bottom of the pool, 6.5 feet, you know, since earlier this year, you know, before he even turned four. Had a lot, you know, we did a remodel at our place. We did a lot of home improvements. There are fortunately so many fun things that happened this year with my family that it is so hard to pick a favorite moment. You know, a daughter graduated high school this year, and then she ultimately moved in with us. I mean, there's so many wonderful things that are my favorite moments. Actually, you know, getting to jump on it and do this with you, is another moment that I'm very fond of. It's something I look forward to, you know, and lessons learned. My biggest lesson was, you know, to ask for help, help with my, you know, with my mental health, my mental state, ask my wife for help, on stuff. And that, I used to be really, really easygoing when I was, you know, in my 20s. And then I got really uptight for a period of time. And so one of the lessons that I'm still learning is like, dude, just relax. It's not a big deal. Like, is it a big deal? Like, I qualify it. Is it a big deal or is it not? Yeah. It's not a big deal. Let it go.
Yeah.
Let it go. So I got a lot of favorites, you know, some good lessons. And
here, let me show you this. Okay. Have you read that? Okay, so it's backwards, but
that's okay.
The Subtle Art of Not Giving
an F. Yeah, The Subtle Art of Not Giving.
Have you read it?
So, oh man. Okay, you ready for my backup embarrassing?
Yeah.
Embarrassing resolution. Okay. Like, I need to freaking read more. Like, I've got this child development the complete brain, this child development book on discipline, and discipline is not a bad word. It's a good word. I'm gonna read more this year. Like, that's what I'm gonna do.
I don't read. I do not read either. I'm with you on that. But this one, what you said, learn what matters and what not. This book actually like really did the job for me. It lowered my anxiety and my stress because it does just that. It's like you in life, you only have a certain number of, or reframe it so that in life, you only have a certain number of F's to give. Is this thing that just happened, is this something that you want to give one of those F's to? And if it's not that big of a deal, like, are you going to remember this a year from now and you're going to remember exactly what happened? Or is it going to be like, I remember that. You know, if it's something that you're not going to remember in a year, then don't.
Well, then, hey, thank you to Mark Manson who wrote the book. I've already dropped it into my to my cart. And until they decide to sponsor the show, I'm not going to say what card it's in.
Oh, good point. I have the second one. I haven't started yet. It's called Everything Is F.
Oh, jeez. Okay. That's kind of contradictory there, isn't it?
So, right. So this one, the first one, The Subtle Art of Not Giving an F,
F.
is called a counter or described subtitled A Counterintuitive Approach to Living a Good Life. So this is how, like, I see how my outlook on life. And then this one is a book about hope. And these aren't very, like, touchy feely, like, you know, what was the big one back then? Chicken Noodle Soup for the
Chicken
Soul,
Noodle
what it
Soup
was.
for all the souls. Never read them. Never
Yeah.
read them. No, I would have read. I think I've read To Kill a Mockingbird 6 times.
Really?
And now that I'm saying it, I'm probably due for another read. Yeah, there's a lot of good lessons in there about
Yeah.
ethics and, you know, this and that. But hey, you know what? I need to become a better reader. So,
That's true.
yeah.
I'm thinking, like, are all adults readers, or are they just saying they are? Because I read zero books, and I mean, I consider myself a writer in, you know, in the literal sense,
yeah.
but I connect with the world through real life, I guess. More, I'm not as big on fiction. I don't have that much time to invest in reading fiction when I can watch a whole 8 episodes of Wednesday on Netflix in a weekend. And
Well,
then I'm
hey,
done.
even in sales, they say that 2 years of door-to-door sales is more beneficial than a 4-year degree.
I
So
agree with that.
person-to-person interaction, I think that's also our strength. And so it's always good to focus on your strength, and then just give some attention to your weakness. So supplement, you know, with occasionally reading a freaking book. My favorite thing is when people say, oh yeah, I read this article and I know the person. And if it's, you know, I don't necessarily like calling people out, but if it's in a comical fashion, like, hey, yeah, I read this article. No, you didn't. You saw it on TikTok. You didn't read an article.
Yeah.
Like, that's not, no, that's not qualified.
Did you, or did you watch 30 seconds?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
So, you know, hey, like I said, I put it in the cart. Sponsorship is open for said cart, and then we'll, I'll take a look at it. So here's a fun one. Again, you've got an impressionable sponge.
Mm-hmm.
In your what do you want to teach her this year?
I want to teach her the dedication and aspect of starting as simple as, and this is I will put, like, most of the fault on me for feeling the guilt of being a single mom. So it's like follow through. Like, we'll sign up for something, piano, soccer, we'll follow through, but the follow through also needs to be like, okay, every single night at 8 o'clock, this is what's going to happen at, you know, at such and such time. Just a really solid framework, because I hear her a lot of the time say that I am the cool mom and that I let her do whatever she wants. And I was like,
oopsies.
We
need some structure. Need some structure. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, oopsies.
Bells start going off in your brain. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, yep. Oh, shit. Yeah. So, and she's at perfect age for me, at least. I'm glad I picked it up now. She's in third. Yeah, she's in third grade. She just grows. She's, you know. She's smart.
Regina George's mom is the cool mom, and she turned out fine.
I show her that clip because I'll be like, I'm the cool. I'm not like those other moms. I'm the cool mom. And she's like, why do you say that? I was like, because it's true.
Sorry about the cough, but yeah, it's
feel
a
like
culture.
She's on the way to being Regina George.
No, she's not.
Not. Well, in the sense that I encourage her to speak up. And she's like super popular in her school.
Well, you've also explained that she's empathetic too. So yeah, like there's something to be said for that. Like, hey, you know what? And it may offer some wisdom to the wise. Like, I guess I could pertain it as like something like soccer, where you're talking about soccer, right? So one, I have found that this is very helpful for me. You know, pick a time, but maybe not, you know, see if it naturally stretches out past said time. But don't try and eat that elephant one bite at a time. Just, you know, take that mountain, take the molehill away. Like, hey, what do you, oh, I want to work on dribbling. Like, okay, then that's what we're going to work on. And don't mix in any other things. We're just going to work on dribbling this week, you know, and
that's
then
good
next
point.
Week you're going to work on passing. And, you know, I would small things first, because like I played sports and my mom was my baseball coach. And all I wanted to do was throw the ball as hard as I could. And my mom coached me into, you know, I want you to hit the same spot 100 times. Then you can throw it harder. I don't want you to throw it any harder than you're already doing now. And naturally that muscle memory, especially in sports, comes into play. So good for you. Have that structure. Don't make it a chore, right?
That's,
make it fun.
That's the key. And I'm just, by having ADD, I'm very much where like, I want to do this. And I like 75% of the way finish everything. And then one day I have 10 projects that are 75% of the way done, and I need to get them all done at once. So right now, we just got her a bike for her birthday about a month ago.
Yeah.
And so that's the focus. That's what I'm going to focus on, instead of being, let's do this and let's do this. I'm so used to, when I was growing up, I had like 4 or 5 after school activities going on at the same time. So I think I've been conditioned to see that way as the way, which is not the case. Like, I don't know if she did soccer, team sports, which my whole family did team sports and we were very into it, but it didn't work out that well this season. So maybe that's not her thing. So it's things like that. I need to balance what I know and what the family tradition, whatever, versus that's just not who she is. And it's okay to try swimming or cheerleading or something else.
So, you know, some of these activities, like, you know, if she wanted to be like a hockey goalie, like, you're going to go out and buy a plethora of gear. Like I wouldn't, you know, being financially conscious, it's like, you know, you read about child development and what they tell you is like, dude, try a bunch of things, which includes putting on galoshes and going out and jumping in a puddle, or, you know, like stuff that's a struggle for me with my son, to play in the mud and this and that. But try everything. Like, just because you're trying to play an instrument and you don't like the trumpet, well, then switch. And you know what? Instruments are great because you can ultimately borrow them from even good music stores will loan you, like, hey, you know, it might have a deposit, but hey, borrow this violin for a week, see what you think.
Oh, I never thought about that.
Yeah. So try everything. Try everything. It might be music. She also might, you know, love reading, and then you're out on an
good
island.
Good on you. Yeah.
It's like, you know, so that's good. That's good. Yeah. That's a good thing to focus on. And then have a coach to keep you on point, like to help you out. Like, hey,
I do need somebody to keep me in check.
Have somebody ask you like weekly, like, hey, how do bike lessons go this week?
Probably you. This will probably be your job, because this is a consistency thing that I want to work on. Is, you know, now that I don't want to say now that I have my life together, because nobody really does, but, you know, if I want to focus on one thing and stick to one thing, practicing what I am going to preach, is that I need to hold myself to the same standards of
accountability.
Accountability. Just do what I say, and, you know, whatever.
Hey, progress, not perfection. I would be happy. So is that the focus? Is it bike riding? Because I'm gonna ask you next time we're on the show. Hey, how's the bike lessons
Perfect.
Going?
Yeah.
And
the
look,
weather is great this week, so I have no
there
excuses.
You go.
Yeah.
And if you're not gonna do it every day, let's say you were gonna do it 2 days, and you know, you did it. You didn't do it Sunday through Thursday. Guess what? Friday and Saturday, or we might cut the show short and be like, all right, well, you're going to get an extra one in this week. We'll see. I'll help you stay accountable, and that'll be great.
Sweet. So I'm going for two days of this week. Starting small, but doable.
Okay. It's totally doable. Totally doable. You're going to knock it out.
How about you? Did we?
Oh, yeah. Mine is so much simpler than you. He's four. So we're going to focus on our numbers and the alphabet. Like that's going to be, that's going to be a focus for him. I know my son, he is the product of me. So getting just a straight up alphabet book is not going to work. So I have two avenues for that. My cousin got me this really cool ABC book for my son, and it's the alphabet, but it's all with famous rappers.
Oh, so, I was going to say, is it that one? Yeah.
Yeah. So guess what? Akon's first, right? So yeah. We're going to do that, but then also,
sweet. That's also double with education.
With dinosaurs, there's some good dinosaur alphabet books that he seems to get into. There's a dinosaur counting book. If he's in the right mode, he can get up to about 14, you know?
Wow. Yeah.
So look, he's four. Like I'm sure there are parents out there that have these prodigies and this and that, and I don't know if my son's not a prodigy because I'm not feeding that part of his brain enough, and so that's something that I'm going to do, and that's something that I want to teach him. You know, he spends a lot of time with his cousins, so he is building a lot of social skills, trading, you know, or sharing and that stuff. So the big thing is much simpler. It's numbers and letters. We're gonna see how far we can get, and then maybe we can get him to write his name. That's what we're gonna teach this year.
But I think you're right. I think the sharing, the social is the way, you know. Does he have to go to preschool over there in Arizona? Do they have preschool?
No, so he does a hybrid program because my sister-in-law is a photographer, but she was also a teacher. So she's also a homeschool parent as well. So they have a hybrid program that he goes to every Friday. You know, he's four, so it's a lot of crafts. It is letters and numbers. They do a performance at the end of the year or twice a year, I think it is.
Yeah.
Like he did a Christmas performance recently that was just like, you know, you talk about just being proud and just like having an emotional moment, like that kind of stuff. So yeah, so he is learning. You know, we'll probably figure out something to learn with swimming this year. He's been swimming without assistance, whether it be me or a flotation device, since he was about a year and a half.
Oh my gosh.
So I think the first time we had him in, well, we had an above ground pool when he was I guess about 9 months old, maybe even less. And we, you know, occasionally would just dip him in the water. And somebody told me like, hey, you want your kid to hold their breath underwater? Like hold him in front of you and blow him real hard in their face and dunk him down. And so that's what I started doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then ultimately he decided at one point he didn't want his flotation devices anymore. And so he would jump off the edge, and then he would swim underwater, hold his breath to the stairs. And then one day he lifted up to get a grasp of air. And then he started kind of treading water. And then earlier this year, he was kind of trying to dive down. He really couldn't do it. He was like trying to make himself dive down into the pool. And that's something we will learn how to do. We're going to learn how to dive head first.
This lessons or is this all you guys?
This is me. Well, no, you. I can't take full credit. It was me. My father-in-law was a big part of it. My wife, watching his cousins.
Whenever anyone says my wife, I think of Borat. My wife.
Oh yeah, my wife. but it was every day. I mean, here in Arizona, you know, we can swim from basically March until sometimes October. So when my father-in-law was watching him, like it was not rare to have him out in the pool at 9 o'clock in the morning with a sugar-free popsicle. So, and then we would get off work at 3 o'clock and then we'd go swim and then we might go back in again at five. Like, you know, it was common. So this last year he wanted to start diving down for things, but he couldn't do it. So my wife was on a trip, for work, and I was like, all right, we're gonna go do it. And so he was trying to do it, and then he went to do it, and I just shoved his butt, like I just shoved him down to the bottom of the pool.
Yeah.
And then he figured it out. And now, so, you know, he's really accomplished. So we're going to do a lot of swimming stuff this year. Like I said, diving, like diving head first. That's the one thing that he hasn't committed to yet. So that'll be a fun thing because I think it's his first love. He
I
loves
think
the water.
so. Yeah.
So yeah,
I was
a lot
gonna
of fun.
say you know, mine was like a forced. You have to go to lessons because everyone has to know how to swim. It's just you have to learn how to swim. It's just not an option. And
Right.
so she loved it. It was a class atmosphere, but I mean, I tried and I couldn't, you know, teach her myself because I don't know. I just probably, first of all, I didn't like getting into the pool that much myself because I was unconscious about, even though it's just nobody there. And it's like all these little things start feeding into your head. And I was like, I'll wait to give her lessons. But then it's like, you know, I think it was 5 or 6 and they teach her. But then it's stuff that was like, oh, well, I could have done that. But I just didn't really think it through all the way. I kind of was just
Sure.
like, go swimming. Oh, it didn't work with me. Do it. I'll have somebody else do it. So, but I need to rely a little bit more on myself.
Have confidence in yourself. Like, you know, you're a good problem solver. So, I think you'll be fine.
Oh,
I
question for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So they say terrible twos. Did
No.
you have terrible twos or has it extended threes, fours?
No, no, I skipped terrible twos. I ended up with a three-nager.
Okay,
And then,
see, that's what I'm saying. There's no terrible
yeah.
twos. It's three-nager. That's
No,
the three is
three-nager.
is just intense.
And the first
Ugh.
part of four, he was, you know, he was kind of having a little bit of an attitude. And so sometimes it's just him being an attitude and testing his boundaries, but also you got to take into consideration, like, man, when was the last time he ate? So that's why, you know, like, that's why I'm like diving into this discipline book, the whole child brain and understanding that he's becoming much, much better now. And you've experienced this. Really cool things happen, like when they suddenly start speaking like an adult.
Freaks me
Where
out. Yeah.
Like the other day we were talking about him hanging out with his cousin and he goes, oh yeah, that's perfect. That's a great idea. And it's like,
hold up.
Whoa, wait a minute, man. Like,
that's cute.
Like today he's like, he's, you know, can you get me some water? And I was like, yeah. And he goes, but a small cup, please. Not a big cup, a small cup. It's like, all right, man. Yes, sir.
Anything else, mister?
Yep. That's
sir.
it. So,
That's
you know,
cute.
Other folk can't see it, but like, I think you may or may not be able to, I may not be able to share while we're recording. But,
oh, there we go.
And so this is July, right?
Oh,
So
okay.
He turns 4 in September, and this is a video. The pool's 6.5 feet deep. This is one of those sinking rockets. And, I was just like, man, you know, go get it. And this is what we would do. And then boop, pops up, treading water. And then
big
he,
old smile on his face.
Oh yeah. He loves it. And,
holy moly.
Yeah, he does really, really good. So that's going to be, you know, going back to it. It's, we're going to do that a lot
that's
this
a
year,
good
but
one.
No terrible twos, three major, four. He's still, he's very, strong-willed. And so
oh,
am
I
I.
wonder where he gets that from.
Oh yeah. Well, his mom too.
Good luck.
What do you think that you personally want to work on as it pertains to your mental health this year?
Oh, good question. Acceptance of failure or perceived failure, I think.
Oh, me too. That's a good one. That's a good one.
I know both of us, we're very separately, we're very hard on ourselves for anything. Like,
sure.
Oh my God, I'm 5 minutes late to picking her up from
school
or
yep.
whatever.
Yep.
I just need to, you know, prioritize. And it's kind of counterintuitive, or not counterintuitive, but it's kind of like opposite of like, I want to be consistent. I want to be this, and I want to be this, which is almost setting me up for failure.
Sure.
So it's
Sure.
like being able to do that in a very strong commitment, but also at the same time, understanding that if it doesn't work every single time, I didn't lose my goal for, you know, the whole year. If I don't do it all year and it comes off the rails, that's one thing. But if I like once I'm 5 minutes late, that doesn't mean I'm a failure at the whole thing, my whole goal for the year.
Right.
So I just need to accept, understand, and then also project on how I want to be seen as how I process failure, because people are people are watching me in this exact moment every single time I experience something crazy. My daughter's there to see how I experience it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how she's going to know that it is. So that's going to be a big one for me.
That's a good one. Similarly, with that, or simultaneously, I want to work on celebrating the wins too.
Yeah.
You know, if you're a complete juggernaut, for perfection, really the only thing that you're going to find yourself doing is ridiculing yourself for where you fell short. And you and I both know if we were speaking to one another, the other person is going to be able to quickly find that win for the other person. I need to recognize that myself, but be humble about it, of course.
But that's often the hard part, I think, for people like us, because it's hard to celebrate our wins, because at least I feel like I shouldn't be celebrating wins because it's selfish. I don't know if that.
It makes sense. Yep. And so one of the, celebrate it internally to kind of put a bow around it.
Mm-hmm.
With all those things that have been said, like what's your definition of success in 2023?
My definition of success would be, so I spent last year kind of playing around with the format of this blog/podcast, and my success would be to be in a place where it's recognized without me shoving it in everybody's face, which is part of the process. Like, especially getting started, you gotta shove everything in everybody's face.
Oh yeah. Hey, look at this.
And then that's it. I mean, I don't know if it's real or not, but I got an email saying somebody wants me to write something on my blog as like a either sponsored or whatever. So like we were just talking about, like, so I'm like, I don't know if this is how it goes. So now I'm looking into the rules of if I'm allowed to post articles that are promoted via somebody else. Like, now I'm looking into the legal aspects.
Yeah.
But the fact that it happened to me is a big sign that I'm moving in the right direction. And I need to trust my instincts of, like, I have the knowledge base and the experience of everything that I'm doing. Why am I second guessing myself when I consult to people? I tell them this is what you should do. But then when I try to do it on my own, I'm like, I know this is going to work. Why am I scared to do it? So I think I'm scared of, in a way, scared of the success because the aftermath is unknown. But I can't get there unless I get the success being the continual growth and evolution of the blog/podcast. To have a house, not a household name, but a name. And the aftermath of that would be, okay, now am I on the level of cancellation, where cancellation resides? You know, like I say, I'm very careful anyway, and I don't think there's anything I've said or written that could be cancelable, which I definitely, that's like my top priority whenever I publish something, because I can't. Sure. I'm not strong enough right now to handle that level of rude, just mean comments. And so that's part of it too. Just the whole evolution of now to their thick skin, content, everything.
But okay. Keep in mind there are people in this world that hate puppies, all right? So like, look, there is going to be naysayers. There's always going to be naysayers. I think that's I think that's a great definition of success. I think that you're being realistic with it. And who knows, it's organic. It could evolve into something that, that you haven't even seen yet. And so, yeah. And I think it's heading in that right direction. Hey, look, my mom hit me up today and she's like, hey, my mom's a little bit older. She's like, how do I listen to this podcast thing?
Aww.
And I'm like, all right, so look, I mean, the audience is expanding. It's
this is true. Try not to, that's part of it. Like, see, it's almost like I'm scared of my own success sometimes.
Sure. Well.
But I want to hear about your definition.
Oof.
Yeah. That's a hard one.
Oh, my definition of success this year. I want to be happy. I think that I'm heading toward, and I'm being humble about it. Like, that would be a defining moment. And definition of success with my family is actually just to continue on the path that we're on now. We're happy, we're healthy. We've done a lot to our home. I might play around with my father's old 46 Chevrolet truck a little bit. But to be comfortable kind of in my own skin, like I said, yeah. Celebrate those wins. I honestly think that the family dynamic is pretty easy for that level of happiness. And but professionally, as you pointed out for yourself, I'm heading toward an accolade, a promotion, that would be a cool defining moment. And then, hey, if simultaneously, not to be selfish, simultaneously, your blog takes off, the podcast gets some notoriety, that definitely falls in the success category as well. So
this could be our retirement plan. Who knows?
Imagine? could you know how many people I got a lot of acquaintances. I've got a good amount of friends. Could you imagine, hey, what are you doing? Yeah, I'm talking for a living. Oh man, it's about time somebody paid you for all that garbage that you spit out.
Like, hey, I was made for this.
Hey, I'm told that I got the gift of gab.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate that.
Wrap this one on up. This is a good Happy New Year. And
Happy New Year.
Looking forward to getting two sessions in on this riding the bike. And you have the book information. But
I do.
But shall we end it and reconvene next week?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Closing thoughts.
Don't put too much pressure on yourself to say that I'm going to make this my year. Maybe like, hey, you know what? Don't be afraid to reset. Hey, you know what? In January, I totally did not ride the bike 2 days a week, or, this and that. And it's like, okay, well, February 1st, go. Right. Celebrate those little wins. Like, you made an amazing meal. You cleaned your house. You woke up before your alarm clock.
I have one for you to celebrate today, is you didn't say what have you one time.
Jump back.
Nope. I was ready because I was like, where's my buzzer? Nope.
You know, when I even went on a roll, and when I'm thinking about it, and I'm not even going to say it now. I'm going to hold steady. Woo! Celebrate that win.
There you go. And
there's some mental toughness right there.
That's right. All right. Well, I am going to, my final closing thoughts are, it's not the end of the world.
Oh, it is not the end of the world. I love that even simple. Better. No, that's great. That's great.
Because nothing ever is. But anyway. No. All right. Thanks again, everybody. Can't wait to talk to you again next week. And I'm going to say, this time I'm going to say, peace out. How about you?
Until next time.
Bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening. If you like what you heard, check out crossthestreamsmedia.com to hear more episodes of this podcast and the other shows on the Cross the Streams Network. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you download your favorite shows. Visit crossthestreamsmedia.com for more information. See you next time.